You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 27th of January 2023 and you're listening to me, Sir Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. It's the end of another week and the weekend is almost here and you're either listening to this driving home from work or perhaps listening to it in your lunch hour. Maybe you're downloading it from radioalbion.com over the weekend. But we know why you are here today and that is to hear from my co-host Grandpa Dan all the way from Texas. Grandpa, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. My aspiring rapper career, not so much. I was just sitting here as you were doing the introduction, trying to gin up some beats, some good lyrics there for intro, and I came up dry. I don't know, Sven. My aspiring rapper career, it's unfortunately not looking good.
Not looking as good as the subject of our news story this week, which is, of course, an aspiring rapper. He's a British rapper. He comes from Leeds, overwhelmed with pressures of holding down a minimum wage job. A Leeds man has decided to quit work and sign up to Universal Credit so he could concentrate on becoming a professional rapper. And Universal Credit is the equivalent of the Dole, basically, unemployment benefit. James Hrule, aka rapper Jay Hrule, was growing sick and tired of trying to hold down mundane jobs which he just didn't care about. The 25-year-old, who lives with his parents in Beeston, decided that working for minimum wage was slowing him down in his journey to make it in showbiz. After about a month of trying to make it, he has set up his own website where he is offering out his services as an artist and a producer. And Jay is charging $300 for a live performance, and fans can also snap up merchandise t-shirts for the snip price of just £75. So he had a job, he gave up the job, and normally when you just quit a job it means you can't actually get any benefits for 6 weeks, but somehow he's managed to get his benefits. And that's effectively what he's saying here, is he's going to go on benefits and then he's going to rap, because it was just too difficult for him trying to work. I mean, it was just slowing him down, man, and he needs to make it in showbiz. And you really wouldn't believe it, but this is actually in a mainstream newspaper. And I'm wondering whether his parents knew the journalist, something like that. But we do hear he really needs to watch out, to be honest, because a lot of the time when people get gunned down by the cops, it turns out that they were an aspiring rapper. So perhaps he should be careful he doesn't get gunned down. At least that's not likely to happen in Britain. He may get hit with a truncheon or fired at with a taser. That does seem to be the end result of a lot of these aspiring rappers. Grandpa, what do you make of this young aspiring rapper, J.K. Rule, or Jay Rule, as he calls himself?
I have a feeling I'm going to wind up being kind of like the contrarian slash devil's advocate through this whole story. And I'm honestly kind of looking forward to that role. I'm not spending £75, but I ain't gonna lie. If somebody sends me his J Rule t-shirt, I will wear that around. I will absolutely wear the t-shirt around. I think it's funny that, you know, it's like, well, you know, here's my entrepreneurship, and it's the original idea of being a rapper. But he is trying to be entrepreneurial. I mean, he's trying to sell his merch. I don't know how you jump to selling merchandise before you have a big fan base. I think he's kind of, obviously, he's trying to manage this himself. He's kind of put put the cart before the horse, as it were. You got to get a fan base before you start peddling your merch. But, you know, I applaud his entrepreneurial spirits, man. I really do. It is kind of humorous because this is, you know, the best he could come up with his idea of being a rapper. I do think that it's sad that we live in a society. We live in a society, Sven, to where people think the only meaning you have in your life is like, you know, you've got to be some kind of celebrity. You know, you got to be, and you see this with people on social media, and I'll see these stories and they'll talk about, you know, this woman, for instance, and else, you know, I've never heard of. And they're like, oh, well, she's, you know, an Instagram star, an Instagram model, an Instagram celebrity. And I'll be honest, I guess I'm showing my age because I have no idea what the hell that even means. But it is reflective of the idea because I blame part of this on these reality TV shows that have been a thing now for several decades, you know, and people see these reality TV shows and they put that on themselves and they're like, well, I could be a celebrity. I could be a celebrity and have fame and money. And I could be an Instagram celebrity or whatever the case may be. People think that the only way they can make it is to be some kind of celebrity, some kind of entertainer instead of, you know, some kind of business starter, you know, some kind of entrepreneur. You know, I mean, this guy's trying to break out. I can't blame the guy for not really being hyped for a minimum wage job. And I'll get into that as we go along. I don't want to take too much on it. You know, ain't nobody hyped for no minimum wage job. There's not really any way to move up. I think it's silly that he thinks he's going to be a rapper, but you know, hey, I guess sometimes, Finn, you just got to bust a move.
Well, it used to be many years ago that if you were in a band or you were a musician, you would work for many years while at the same time working at being a musician, gigging, getting somewhere, finally getting a record deal, and then being able to leave your job. But it seems today you just leave the job after a month to go professional when you can't actually go professional, when you've got no other income. So rather than working for an income, he's basically just going to take an income from the state, I guess, while he perfects his art of talking over the top of a beatbox. Now, Jay has struggled to hold down a job his whole life. I mean, poor fellow, he's really struggled here and admits he's never been in the same employment for more than a year. What finally pushed him over the edge was a simple mix-up at work, which resulted in him not getting paid for 1 month. So basically, he probably worked a month in hand or a week in hand. That's normally what happens when you work, but obviously there was this mix-up and he didn't understand that. Jay had been working from home for a call centre for about a month, and his job involved asking major supermarket customers if they'd received their orders. So it's not even that he actually had to get up out of bed and get into or get transport to actually get into work. All he had to do was come down and pick up the phone, and that was his job. And it was just too difficult for him. It was just too much of a struggle for him. And he's had this problem for his whole life, Grandpa. His whole life, he's struggled to hold down a job. And obviously it can't be his fault. It's not his fault here. It's got to be the job's fault. And now he's finally had it. He's finally been pushed over the edge by having to work a month in hand for his wages. I guess he thought he was going to get paid daily or perhaps something like that. What do you make of this poor lad, Grandpa? He's had a really tough life, hasn't he? Don't you think?
It's his big, long life. People my age tend to chuckle, you know, when young people talk about, you know, my whole life, like it's been this long time. It's like, you're just getting started. One of the things that we see is that the economy is geared, and I always wind up talking about things from an American perspective. I can't help it, obviously, but it applies to the West, whether you're talking about Britain or Europe. And this, of course, is ironically, immigration plays a role in it, is there's always work to keep wages as low as possible. They'll preach to us about the free market and the free market, but the same people that will tell you, you know, how holy the free market is, when the free market would push wages up, everything, the government comes in and everything is done to keep those wages low. My point here is to do with this story is we used to have, it used to be a person, yeah, you might start off at minimum wage, But if you stayed with a company, for instance, if you stayed with a company long enough, you could move up in the company and you could have a future. We used to have a system where people worked 20, 30 years, however long in their life, or even worked their whole life. And they knew that if they stayed with the one company, then they could retire and they would get a pension and they would have retirement and they could find some sort of future and fulfillment in their work. We don't have that anymore. Now, this guy's an extreme example. I'm not saying this guy would go and do that if he had that opportunity. But the thing is, what creates the circumstances for Jay Rule here applies to everybody. There's nobody out there that's going to go out. You can't go out and find a job and stay with a company. You know what happens if you go now and you go to work for a company and you work there? Say you go to work for a company, you're 25 years old. You work till you're 65 years old. And then when you hit 65 and you've worked your whole life for this company, and now they can't get anything else out of you because you're too old. They say, thanks a lot for all the years. We can't use you anymore. Goodbye. And you know what? Then the only retirement, the only pension you got is, guess what? To go on the dole, basically, which is Social Security here. Your government retirement, which is a joke. If you look at the actual amount of money you get for that, it's a joke. You better not have any debt, anything, because you might be able to pay your electric and your food. And that is it. You know, that is the future anybody holds. Like I say, with this guy, I'm not saying he would go and do that if he had these opportunities. The point is, our entire system is set up where there's no opportunities for anybody. You know, this guy's going to, you know, he can't think any more originally than I'm going to start a rap career. But the truth of the matter is, all of these jobs that are available to young people, because you hear this all the time, these young people don't want to work. These young people don't want to work, but there's no future in it. You know, it's like if they say, oh, well, you live with your parents and you don't work. Well, yeah, but if you go out and work one of these jobs, you're not going to make enough money to get your own place and to be independent and maybe have a wife and start a family. You're still going to be living with your parents. So if your option is I can work this mind-numbing, stupid minimum wage crap job and live with my parents, or I can just live with my parents and play video all day and not do anything. At least this guy took the option of working on his rap career. The point is, there's no future for people. There's no future for young people. Older people, and I don't, you know, older, because I still naively don't want to think of myself as old. Older people always want to act like, you know, these young people have the same opportunities. You know, this is kind of a boomer thing, which I'm not, I'm an Xer. But, you know, boomers act like young people today have the same opportunities that they had when they were, say, 20 years old. And that's foolish. That doesn't exist. I feel very sorry for young people today because there are no opportunities. See, we're trying to have a funny story here, and I keep bringing up the serious angle to it. Young people today don't have the opportunity to, well, you get a job and you stick with it. You work with that company your whole life and pull yourself up by the bootstraps, and then you'll have a pension and you can retire. Those days are long gone. Those days are long gone. You know, young people today don't have a future like that. Why should they work a pointless job? Because they're still going to be living with their parents anyway because they don't make enough to pay rent and to be self-sufficient. There's really something wrong. Really something wrong with this system.
Well, you got a good point there. I guess 100 years ago, you would get a job. You would have that for your whole life. If you had a factory job, there were certain factories that they would also have houses that you could buy a house and live by. And they would have clubs. They would have libraries. Some of them would even have art museums. And everything was geared up around the factory. And now you go out and you're lucky to get a 0 hours contract, which means that you don't have any contract at all, basically. And I guess they do now have to give you holiday pay and sick pay. So I do get the point that the employment prospects are not so good now as they were 100 years ago. But at the same time, you need to learn some discipline. I mean, what this guy is saying here is, even when he's just working from home and all he's got to do is pick up the phone, that's too difficult for him to do more than a month of it. Now, you need to go out to work, to learn the self-discipline, so that you can then work. If you're going to work for yourself, you need to have the self-discipline to do that. And this guy has not got the self-discipline to do that. If he can't actually stick it at any of these jobs, why does he think that he's going to be able to stick it at his new rapping career? Well, let's get back to the article here. Jay said, I just thought I couldn't keep doing this. I decided to go all out on the music. This is what I want to do. I'm not getting any younger. And of course, he was only 25, I think, at the time here. It was a laid-back job working from home, but it was 8 hours a day with such low pay an hour. I was there for a month and I thought, nah, this is long. 8 hours a day. That's a fairly short work hour a day. A lot of people do 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day. They do shift work. Are you saying it's low pay an hour? I think the minimum wage is about 10 or 11 pounds an hour. It's not bad. I mean, 8 hours there. I mean, what is he getting there? About 60 quid, something like that. 60 quid, $70-$80 a day is what the guy is earning here. And he's obviously not going to have to pay any rent because he's living at home. He could do this work and then he could save up the money so that he could have a mortgage. But it was too difficult for him. He said, I've never been good at keeping a job and I've never had a job for more than a year. It all comes down to wanting to do, trying to do music. I was living life to a calendar that I didn't want. I wasn't doing what I wanted to do in my life. I'd had enough. So it's all about him doing what he wants to do, which is fair enough, but it's too difficult for him to live life to a calendar. It's too difficult for him to know what day it is, basically. I suspect he probably smokes weed. That seems to be the sort of thing that these hip-hop artists do. He said, I just felt weird one day, like this cannot be life. I'm literally doing things I don't want to do as if I feel obligated. Well, yeah, people do feel obliged to have to work to earn their money. You know, that is just the way that things are. You don't get handed things on a plate. But he, you know, he just doesn't understand this. He feels obliged to work. He feels obligated that he should work when, I mean, all he could do is just go out there and claim universal credit, which is what he's done. He said, I just wanted to do my own thing. I felt overwhelmed about certain pressures and felt I had to do something about it, he added. So he felt overwhelmed still living there with mum and dad, or probably just with mum. And all he had to do was phone people up every day. So he didn't even have to leave the house. But it was just overwhelming for him. I guess all the responsibility there was overwhelming for him. The responsibility of having to actually get up out of bed and call some people. I don't think he's really going to succeed at this rapping career. I don't think he's got enough get up and go, and I don't think he's got enough discipline. Grandpa, you may think different.
No, I agree with you. This is you hear people, you know, like for instance in the black community here, you know, and we kind of snicker about it because, you know, you always hear like, you know, he's an aspiring rapper. You know, he was hoping to join the NFL. He was hoping to be, you know, be a professional basketball player. And unfortunately, people don't, you know, they don't get a message that that's a very small percentage of people that are able to do that. You know, they look like, for this is this guy, he looks at professional rappers and they've got the gold chain and all of the bling and they got the money and they got the hose and all the message that goes with that. And I want to be a part of that. He doesn't understand the amount of work that goes in. Those guys are putting a lot of work in, you know, and it looks like they're just having fun because what are you exposed to that? You see them, you know, on the music videos, you know, for the TV, but that's just for show. I mean, those guys, you know, I mean, those guys have had to put a lot of hustle in. They put a lot of work in and there's a lot to go with it. And those record contracts are ripoff. Those record contracts, I remember reading years ago, I think it was back in the 90s, tells you my age. And at that time, you know, this was before everything was online. CDs were the way of the future. And I remember reading somewhere that I think the average cost of a CD at that time was $10. Snicker, snicker. Y'all are lucky I'm not talking about cassette tapes here. 8 tracks were more or less before my time. They were going out when I was still very, very young. But anyway, CDs at the time were going for an average of $10 for a CD. And I remember that, like, for every $10 CD sold, the artist, you know, the singer, the musician got like a nickel. All the rest of that went to the record company. These people see these guys on the videos and they're dancing around with the bling and all that. And they think that's how their life is. That's how those people's life is. But they're actually, even when you make it, you know, you're getting ripped off. These contracts are an absolute ripoff. Reeling things back in, as I always have to do, on point. Nobody tells these people that, look, the people that make, they put in a lot of work, whether it's a professional athlete or a professional musician. There's a lot of work. As you said, Sven, this guy's not demonstrating that kind of dedication. There's a lot of work that goes into that. It's not just, oh, I'm having fun doing this. It's a lot of work. And at the end of the day, only a very small percentage of people are able to do that, and whether they become a professional athlete or a rapper. I mean, for most of those people, the window in which, you know, they have a successful, if they manage to have a successful career, is very small. It's a very small window. And if they don't have the self-discipline to manage the money, then when that window is closed, they're broke. You never hear from them again, and they're just back living a mundane life. Now, and there's nobody telling them that. Now, I wanted to touch on something real quick, because you were talking about, you know, they're forced to give holiday pay and sick pay now to the wages, to wages now. But you see, here in the U.S., I don't know how it is over there. What they're trying to move for, and I've read articles about this and I've seen it, what they're trying to move people more towards now, and this goes back to keeping wages low, is they're trying to move everybody towards this gig economy. This is part of the World Economic Forum Great Reset thing. What they're trying to move people now is this gig economy with stuff like DoorDash and these other things, where you work independent, because see, then they don't have to pay you that. They don't have to pay you holiday pay. You're a 1099, which means in the U.S., a 1099 means you're considered an independently self-employed. You're a contract worker without really a contract. So what that means is you work and they pay you, you know, X amount to do each individual job. You go and pick up someone's luggage and deliver it to them, and you get paid $10. And that $10 is what you get paid. No benefits, no overtime, no nothing. You use your own vehicle, wear and tear on your own vehicle. You pay your own gas. And at the end of the year, you haven't paid anything into Social Security, Medicare, income taxes. So at the end of the year, you get hit with also having to cough up the money for all those things. And the employers, the people benefit from that, don't have to deal with any of that. They're not obligated to have any reason to fire you because you're not even working for them. And that's what we're moving towards now. This is like the minimum wage crap jobs that didn't have any benefits. See, that's not enough. Now they're trying to squeeze people into this gig economy, where at the end of the day, they're going to make even less money, you know, even though it might not look like that on the surface. It's just, again, excuse me, this is, you know, it's a humorous story, and I'm sorry for dampening the mood by keep bringing up these serious subjects, but I do think at the end of the day, these things are relevant, you know, to what we're talking about as well.
Well, it is. Well, Jay has left work to go professional, and that fateful day came about a month ago. Since then, Jay has been working out of his bedroom studio, set up a website, applied for Universal Credit, bought a portable poster, and has been performing in Leeds city centre to passing shoppers. So he's basically out there rapping on the streets, and he's been working hard in his bedroom. I guess he was probably doing the phone calls from his bedroom as well, but that's different, I suppose, to working in your bedroom studio. Jay says his songs are about his life and how he's perceived and dealt with certain situations. Now, how he feels street smart, but is also bookish. His Ghanaian heritage and love of gospel music is also important to him and inspires his own work. Good to hear he is ethnocentric there. The rapper has spoken about how lucky he is to have the support of his loving and caring family. His younger brother Jefferson, 16, has been making Jay's beats, and his DJ name is Jeff, This One's Cold Still. Plus, Jay has been using his dad's boombox to perform within the city centre. I mean, he is quite a lucky lad there, isn't he? His family are still together, mother and father there, and his young brother is helping him out. He has admitted that initially his parents, who work as cleaners, had their concerns about his decision to quit his job to pursue his dreams. He said, at first they wanted me to be stable, but it turns out that was just slowing me down. So it was just slowing him down at work, having to make all these phone calls, and now he is speeded up, and now he is out there on the streets spitting beats by his portable poster and selling T-shirts with his signature on them for £75 a time. I do wonder how many of them he has actually sold and how long it will be that he carries out this rapping career before his parents manage to persuade him to go back out and get a job. He does seem quite lucky. He does seem to have quite a good life as a young black lad, considering he has both his mother and his father there. Grandpa, what do you make of the situation here?
Let me ask you a question. What is a portable poster? I don't know what that is.
Well, it's just a stand-up poster. That's what it looks like. It's basically a poster that he puts against the wall, and then he wraps in front of it with a coffee cup in front of him for the shoppers to put the money in. I mean, that's basically what he's doing. I guess it's a form of begging, and the poster there advertises him. But he's not just begging, it's busking, I guess, is what it is, because he's rapping. But the poster is just like a normal poster, I guess. It's a portable one, and it costs however much money he says that it cost. I wonder where he got the money from for that. Perhaps it was a crisis loan from the Universal Credit. But yeah, does that answer your question?
Yeah. No, I didn't know. I didn't know exactly what that was. I've read through this several times, and I always come back to, I don't know what a portable, I thought maybe it was one of those British things, and I don't know what the terminology is. So I was a bit, I was a bit confused. He's going to rap about, you know, his huge experiences in life. I don't know what kind of experiences he's actually going to talk about. You know, I don't know what these experiences he's going to be able to convey at 25 years old. And his experience, from what we've read in the story, is just living at home with mom and dad and you know, going from crappy job to crappy job. I'm really not sure exactly. You know, he's talking about his history of gospel music. You know, maybe he should try something original. Maybe he should be like a gospel rapper. That might give him like a niche to work into there. It's, I don't know. At 25 years old, living with your mom and dad, I'm not sure how many life experiences you're going to have to rap about. I don't know what else to say, Sven. I hate to, you know, I know everybody has high expectations for some great, funny insights here, but I don't know what else to add to that.
Well, he seems to have had a bit of a charmed life, really, doesn't he? If the hardest thing he's had to do is just try and hold a job down for longer than a month. Well, Jay has said his decision to go into rapping is not about the money. He just wants to live and breathe music. That's the only time I feel normal, he adds. Although when there are opportunities out there to make a little extra cash, he thought, why not? And he advertised on his website services such as an event performance for £300, studio time, £100, and mixing and mastering services for £75 for 24 hours. Plus, he is selling plain white t-shirts with his signature on them for £75 each, and another with his logo on it for £20. I guess he thinks he's going to be a big hot shot, lots of record selling musician. So he's selling these t-shirts now for £75 each, and they'll be worth more money after he's made it. Because as I say, at the moment, he's just busking on the street here. I don't quite get this. Studio time, 2 hours in the studio is £100, yet mixing and mastering services is £75 for 24 hours. That doesn't really add up, does it? Because the mixing and mastering services is in the studio, supposedly, and yet it's much cheaper than the 2 hours studio time. So I'm a little bit confused about what is going on there. And I think maybe he is overestimating what he's going to be able to actually do with his new job here, I think, with his new career, by selling these t-shirts with his signature on for £75 each. I'd like to know how many of them he has actually sold, and also whether he understands that mixing and mastering is actually in the studio, because he doesn't seem to have managed to work that out. If it's £300 for studio time, 2 hours, yet it's only £75 for mixing and mastering services, which is also going to be in the studio. Oh, sorry, it's £100 for the 2 hours in the studio. It's £300 for an event performance when you can get one for free by just going to watch him there on the street outside his front door. Grandpa, what do you make of his price lists here?
The studio, we just learned his studio is in his bedroom, which, you know, so is that studio time like in his bedroom? You know, it's like, hey, I'm paying £300 for studio time. And it's like, where do I show up to the studio? And you just wind up at his house. He takes you to his bedroom. And I can laugh about that because my studio is in my bedroom. Here I am. I don't even feel like I can throw any rocks at this guy. You know, here I am. Yeah, it's the studio in the bedroom. I saw that too, though, and I didn't get it either. So I can't enlighten you on this. Something else, and I was going to touch on this earlier and didn't. And another thing I think this reflects on, this goes back to what I was talking about earlier, too. And once again, it's a society-wide thing. Here I go dampening the mood, talking about serious things again. And we've seen this thing in society also, you know, years ago, decades ago, when I was younger, and working people were given respect. You know, whatever job you had, people had a certain amount of respect. You know, hey, this guy's working. This guy's out there hustling. This guy's working hard. And people respected for that. And that was kind of a society-wide message. The message from our society now is you're a sucker. You know, people who are working for a living are derided, you know, or belittled. As I said earlier, the people who are held up in esteem is some bimbo with a big set of boobas dancing around on Instagram because somehow she's getting paid for that. You know, that's what's celebrated. You see, those are the people who are quote unquote contributing to society, not workers, not people who deliver your groceries, not people who are driving a truck, not people who are actually building things. Of course, we don't hardly build anything in our society anymore because everything's financialized. The people are moving money around and Wall Street, they make the big money. Workers are belittled. They're suckers. Celebrities, that's where it's at. So these people see this and they say, well, I want to be somebody. You know, everybody wants to be somebody. They want to have some meaning to their life. And so the message from society is the only meaning you have in your life is if you could become some sort of celebrity. So this guy looks at that and says, well, I want to have meaning in my life. In other words, perhaps this guy might take a different track. I don't know that. But perhaps some of these people, some of these younger people might take a different track in life if the message was, you know, workers are respected. We need people to work and we need people to make things and to contribute to society. Instead of this message that those people are suckers and we can laugh at them because the people that really matter are people that are rappers or Instagram celebrities or reality TV stars or whatever the case may be. If you put out a message that working for a living is, you know, and contributing to society is for suckers. Well, it's not really surprising that people look at that, that young people look at that and go, well, I don't want to be a sucker. I want to be somebody. And this guy doesn't, you know, he doesn't know how to start. Obviously he's trying to sell merchandise when nobody even knows who he is, you know, but he's trying to be somebody because that's the message that society That's the message that society is giving. It's humorous because he has no clue how to go about it. And obviously he's not going to become some big time rapper. That's just a pipe dream. And nobody has told him yet. You know, his parents haven't, they've indulged him and they're not telling him, son, that's just a pipe dream. You're not going to be a damn rapper, you know, but that's the message that society gives. So it really isn't that surprising that somebody says, well, yeah, okay, that's the message. I want to be somebody. So what do? I guess I'm going to go out here and start, put a cup out there, doing my beats on my borrowed boombox with my portable poster, which now I know what it is, out here on the street, and that's how I'm hustling up a living. To be fair, let's look at it like this: standing out there on the street, because I wouldn't do that. I couldn't stand in front of a bunch of strangers rapping. It would be funny. Y'all would probably pay to see that. But live stream Grandpa Dan rapping on the street. I wouldn't be able to do that in a lot of ways. Maybe the guy's actually, I don't know how long he stands out there on the street rapping, but he may actually, in all fairness, he may actually be working harder out there rapping on the street than he was sitting at home doing call servicing.
You're probably right there. I guess his parents probably think that. They're probably just letting him down gently. They have set him a good example. Both of them are out there working. And he has achieved celebrity status already by appearing in this mainstream newspaper article website. Well, he feels creatives in Leeds are undeserved and or underserved, rather. He feels creatives in Leeds are underserved, and there should be more opportunities out there for undiscovered talent. Jay said there's a lot of talent in Leeds which isn't recognised right now. I think people in Leeds need to stand up, get out there and just go for it. If anything, come together. Do it as a city and let's put Leeds on the map. I don't know what to do to go out there and make it. I'm just doing what I feel is right for me. You have to be serious about it and just do it and take risks. It might not work, but I don't have any other options. I guess he doesn't if he just feels it's too difficult for him to actually have a have a 9-to-5 job. And he's saying, let's put Leeds on the map. I'm sure Leeds is already on the map. I think there were some new romantic bands from Leeds. Mark Collette actually comes from Leeds and put Leeds on the map. Well, let's hope that he does manage to put Leeds on the map and he does manage to make something of himself with his rapping talent. Whoever was the journalist that wrote this article, he obviously must have thought something of him, or perhaps he knew his parents. Perhaps he was also Ghanaian. Who knows? Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on the aspiring rapper's tale?
Well, somebody ought to break the news to him that every undiscovered talent thinks the same thing. You know, there's all this talent out there, and everybody needs to recognize all of this talent out there. And there's a certain amount of truth to that. There are people that are very talented at, say, singing that exist out there, and nobody knows who they are. You know, I mean, that's every undiscovered talent, you know, feels that way, because that's just how life is. And that goes back to this message that nobody's broke to this guy, that only a very tiny percentage of people actually manage to break into that kind of music, you know, that kind of career. It just doesn't happen very often. It's a very small percentage of people. And that is, you know, that is the reality. I think that last line, it might not work, but I don't have any other options. Again, you know, we can snicker at this guy's efforts here, but you know, sadly for a lot of younger people, that's the way they feel. I don't have any other options. I'm giving this guy credit. I told you I was going to be kind of devil's advocate in this story, and I don't mean to be a wet blanket. This guy's at least trying to do something. How many younger people also have this attitude of hopelessness? I don't have any other option. And what do? They stay at home, they smoke weed, masturbate to pornography, you know, and don't do anything. I mean, because they have received that message. When younger people say, I don't have any other options, you know, they've been given that message. They've been given that message. You know, credit to this guy. He is at least trying to create some other options, you know, that's not really based in reality. I think the problem is that that is the message that young people are receiving. They don't have any options. And by that, it means they don't have any future.
Well, it's good that he believes in himself. It's good that he's proud of his Ghanaian heritage. And by talking about that, he also shows that he is ethnocentric. So that is an example which we would like to see white people following. We need to be more ethnocentric. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.